You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine. The Transform Master Series may have come to an end for 2017 with Kylie Maxwell from LJ Hooker Queanbeyan being declared the winner, but there are still plenty more lessons for leaders and aspiring leaders to come. One of these was some exclusive one-to-one time I had with one of the most well-known and respected leaders in the industry. I'm talking, of course, about Tracy Fellows, the CEO of REA Group. Tracy has held senior leadership roles for companies like Microsoft and Australia Post prior to heading up REA for the last 3 and a bit years. Tracy has steered REA Group to stunning commercial results at the same time that the company has been named on LinkedIn's prestigious list of top places to work in Australia. In this special one-off interview, I ask Tracy some in-depth questions about how she finds and retains top talent, how she manages the demands of work with her own busy personal life, how reward and recognition are tied to company values, and why you need to create an environment where people want to perform in order for them to do their best. We also cover what aspiring leaders should be thinking about today to become tomorrow's industry leader. I thoroughly enjoyed spending time with Tracy, and I'm sure that you'll find some great takeaways in this interview.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au, and Real Plus.
Tracy, thank you so much for
joining
me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
So you've been in some amazing leadership roles in your career. So give us a short little background of your career to date to what got you here.
Sure. So I worked at, for a big chunk of my early career, was at IBM, which is a really amazing grounding.
Yep.
And I was there for 14 years. Lived in Tokyo for a part of that. Then I worked for Microsoft for 9 years. And in that time, I was the CEO of Microsoft Australia. And then I was the president of Microsoft Asia Pacific, which is 12 countries across Asia Pacific. Wow. And I lived in Singapore.
Yeah.
Then I worked for Australia Post. That was a big difference.
Yeah.
I always say one of these things is not like the others. It's government owned. And then REA Group now for a little over 3 years.
Yeah. So what are the what are some of the standout memorable moments in your career to date?
I think... I mean, there's different things. Some, I would say one of the things that I look at in my career is where I made a decision that wasn't an easy decision for me in terms of taking the next step.
Yeah.
And so probably two big ones for that was one was becoming the CEO of Microsoft Australia, because that was a job that when I was first asked if I wanted to be considered, I said no.
Yeah.
And I said no because I didn't think there were a couple of things that I thought the job needed that I couldn't do. And the biggest one and the one that scared me the most was inspiring a large group of people. At that stage, Microsoft Australia was 1,000 people. And so the thought of inspiring 1,000 people truly intimidated me. The decision to kind of overcome my fears and put my hat in the ring for that job, and very fortunately I got it. And then the other would be the Australia Post job, because I knew nothing about anything to do with that job really. And so much of the dynamics of that business are challenged. That was probably two things because I kind of took a bold leap, I guess.
And now you're at REA, and REA is a truly global company now, so there's been a lot going on in the last 12 months. So tell us a bit about the team that you lead here now.
So we're 1,000 people in Australia. I have a leadership team that represent the different customer segments of our business, as well as the functional parts of our business. I have someone who leads our global business, which is very, very centered in Asia, as part of that team. We're a mix of different backgrounds, ages, functions. We're a pretty diverse group. You know, when you come into our office in Richmond in Melbourne, it feels different.
Yeah, it does.
And I think it feels like us. And that's
feels
pretty
like
important.
Home. Yeah. It's like it's a really nice office to move into. And you do have a very diverse group of leaders. I've met and interviewed a lot of them, actually, from Nigel to Andrew to those sort of guys who are all smart people.
Yeah.
Like, how do you inspire such smart people, and how do you keep them passionate about what they're doing?
So I think one of the things you hire is people who are certainly a level of self-driving. And I don't mean that that abdicates me hopefully inspiring and motivating them, but you want people who have a level of ambition, who have a level of drive. But I also want people who care about the purpose that we have, that we've embarked on, right? We want to change the way the world experiences property. I want people who are energized by that. And I'm very fortunate that I've been able to find people who do that. I think there's something about hiring a group of people that play to each other's strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, Andrew, as an example, who leads our residential business, brings different strengths to Nigel, who's our chief inventor, who kind of brings up everything with a view of, well, have you thought about doing it this way? And there are times in a meeting we look at him and go, oh, Nigel, like no one thinks of it that way. But you want that diversity of thinking around the table. And I think that makes us better. And, you know, the woman who now leads our consumer business, Val Brown, she looks at things differently again. And that's, I think, the richness of the team. I think that helps keep everybody energized and excited about what we do.
Yeah, they are incredible people. We bumped into Andrew on the way in, actually. We were almost going to collect him and sort of, you know, bring him into the room. Mentoring is obviously a topic that we've talked about a lot in Transform Leaders. Do you have a mentor or someone that has inspired you along the way?
I don't have a mentor now, officially, although I certainly have some informal ones. I have, at different times, had mentors. Probably the one that had the biggest impact on me was I had an Italian mentor when I first took the job as leading Microsoft Australia. And the words he said that made a huge difference for me as a leader, we had this meeting, and I won't go into the long story, but we had this meeting, and I'm on the phone. So it's pre-Skype, FaceTime, all that. It's a phone call, you know, face-to-face, with his thick Italian accent. And I've sent him some deck, and he says to me, Tracy, it's all about love. And I can remember sitting where I was going, what the hell is that supposed to mean? And then he said, it's not about big words and it's not about pretty pictures. It's about what's in your heart. And only when your people know what's in your heart can they follow you. And I think for me, that's been my hallmark of my leadership, or at least what I try, is to show, be authentic, be who you are, own good things and bad things, but let people really know what you stand for and what you believe in.
That's really special advice. REA is a high-tech company, a high-tech global company. Yep. So thinking about that, you must have to stay ahead of the curve, ahead of what the competition is doing, ahead of trends that you see coming. How do you personally make sure that you stay ahead of the curve?
So I think one of the things is I don't think I'm going to be the one who's going to spot that new thing. I think it will be the collective of things that different people see and one thing that will spark another idea that will spark something else. Dedicate time for us as a group to talk about things we're seeing, things we're wondering about. I'm curious as an individual, so sometimes it's about reading things, sometimes it's about tapping into the knowledge of some of our own people and the things that they think about. Sometimes it's a kind of combination of all of those things. But I don't think any company should be reliant on one person to have it, and certainly not a company like ours in a fast-paced, moving digital world that we're in.
So you think spread the responsibility for working out what's coming next?
Because what's coming next is almost always not a linear path. It's not, I see it here and it's going to be here. It's going to go up and down along the way. And some of the bets we make or the experiments we make will be a something, some will not.
Yeah.
What you want is smart people understanding what's important to us and what we do within our strategy, thinking about all the different ways we could do it.
Yeah, it sounds like something I regularly say to the guys, everything's a test till it's not.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about employee culture. Like, culture's been a really important topic to the Transformers as well. So tell us a little bit about the sort of culture that you've developed at REA.
So I think I was very fortunate because I entered a company that had a great culture, right? So it's different when you have a company that, you know, maybe that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The culture of REA was a highly engaged group of people, our employees, very passionate about what we do, very purpose-driven.
It is a very special vibe when you walk in.
Yeah, it is. I think maybe some things that I have done in an effort to continue to evolve that great culture, like keep the things that are great, but also position us going forward. We redid our values. So we asked for our employees, our people, to say, what do you like about REA? What do you think is important in our values? So they're really employee-created values. We have six values, and we really own those. And we talk a lot about our reward and recognition is all around our values. We talk about people living the REA values. And we look at that in hiring. How do we hire for the values? And that's a way of, in some ways, trying to codify the culture.
Yeah.
So there's these things that you know and you feel that are part of us, but I think the values are, you know, whether it's codifying or the map that helps you navigate the culture. And probably the biggest thing is acknowledging what makes REA unique for many of us who have been there, and the value that embodies it for us is we say it's do it with heart. And there is something about REA people that care about each other that is, at least in my working experience, unlike anything I've ever experienced before.
Mm.
And how do you keep that even as you get bigger, as you have different stakeholders and different responsibilities? How do you not lose that essence? And I think for us, that's really important.
Yeah, that's that love theme coming back, yeah?
Yeah. But I didn't come up with the Do It With Heart, our teams did, but it was good. I thought, there's something in that.
Absolutely. REA Group was named in the top 20 attraction employers in LinkedIn in the last year. So was that something that you deliberately set out to achieve?
No, it wasn't. And it doesn't mean I'm not proud that we are, but I think there's something about, do you embark on it as a program that you're doing with an end game of why you want to be there? Or is it something that's more organic? And in our case, very fortunately, you know, it's organic. What we want is a place where people want to work because they're excited about what we do and the people they get to do it with. We want to be a place, and I think we are a place, where people can build their careers, where they can come into one role and do something else, either progressing linearly up in the function or do something different. And we've got examples of all of those things. And ultimately, I want to be the place where people can do their best, where they can be their best because we create an environment that lets them do that. And so that there's a lot of energy within us as a leadership team and me as a leader to try and do that. It's nice when it gets external recognition, but it's not the reason we do it. The reason we do it is because I want to attract the best people, and I want them to stay because I want them to love it so much that they want to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about some of the benefits of working for REA Group.
So there's some that are formal and some that I guess are informal. I mean, on the more formal side, we do invest a lot in our people and their development, whether that's for technical training and education or career development.
Mm-hmm.
We have parental leave policy that's both for the primary care at 6 months and for the secondary care at 3 months. The primary care can be male or female. It's whoever is the primary care.
Yeah.
They can take that leave and then come back. We do a lot to try and help people re-enter REA after they've had that time off, you know, to try and make that transition back in easy because we know that that can often be a stressful time. We try and create a work environment where people want to be and to come. So, you know, yes, there's fruit and there's healthy snacks and unhealthy snacks in the vending machines, a bit of both. We have hack days 4 times a year for people to experiment with things that they can't necessarily do in the day job or don't necessarily fit within the strategy envelope of what we're looking to do. So things that are a bit more wild and crazy. Yeah. Sometimes eventually they become products. Sometimes they never do because they're way too wild and crazy, but it's still letting people experiment and learn in that way. In our Melbourne office, you can bring in your dog. I reckon that has been the most popular thing, which I cannot take full credit for, in fact, any credit for, really.
Yeah.
We have a very great, great, great landlord, and it's in one room so that people who don't like dogs or have allergies don't have to live with them around.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of our people are dog owners, so it's kind of a cool thing to do. And then we do socialize together regularly. Once a month, we have Friday drinks. And the reason I say that is that's a time for people to hang out and enjoy being with their colleagues. It's not forced. They don't have to.
Yeah.
Most times I'm not there, but I go sometimes. But I think it's more around creating a space that says, actually, our people like to hang out with each other. And I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. There's some special aspects to the Richmond office, though, like that sort of cater to different religions and...
Yes, we
do.
You
know, like, you know...
And we have a prayer room.
Wellness and...
Yep, yeah. We do. We have... in the Richmond office, we have a couple of different tribes. There's certainly the cycling group. So we have plenty of space for bikes and we have showers and towels and hair dryers and all the things you'd expect. We do have wellness programs that is everything from yoga to boxing and classes that we have during the week. There's a bunch of people on an 8-week challenge right now. So that's the talk of everything. Because they had one of those things you stand on and you hold the handles and it tells you how much percentage of body fat and the good fats and the bad fats. And anyway, so everyone's talking about that right now. So informal as well as formalized exercise, prayer rooms and meditation rooms. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the giving aspect as well. So I know that you're quite involved in launch housing. So how do the employees get behind launch housing and that program?
So initially, when we decided we wanted to do something in the community, we asked our employees what causes were important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And homelessness rated very highly. And I think one of the reasons it rates very highly is because of our purpose and people, you know, we are a bunch of people who are passionate about property, but we also recognize we're very privileged that for many of us, property is something we can aspire to. And some of us, you know, are fortunate to have a house, but we know for many that's not the case. So that was how it came to be. Employees get behind a couple of ways. So when we do induction, we also have furniture building for the emergency housing. So when someone's first few weeks at REA, they immediately get involved and know.
Yeah,
they see it. We have other charities that people can give to, and it's matched workplace giving. And then we've just recently added support for Orange Sky Laundry. They're now creating a digital van that moves around different parts of Australia. The first one I think will be in New South Wales, and we've supported that as well. And then we do, in our Richmond office, we do gold coin donation for coffee in the morning. So we have a barista come in and people can donate gold coins. And so then we have five charities that are the gold coins, and there's about between $800 and $1,000 a week going to the selected charities. But I think it's things that our people care about, so they can volunteer to organizations that they care about and that they see that we support it as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's just part of who
makes
we are.
Makes you feel good, yeah.
It's part of who we are.
Yeah. So one of the questions that the Transform leaders had for us on the way in was their challenge themselves by managing teams that might be primarily Gen Y and then some that are older. How do you keep those multi-generational teams inspired here?
So I wish there was kind of a paint-by-numbers answer, but there's not, because people are complicated. And I don't know that if millennials and Gen Ys are more complicated, it's just they see things differently sometimes than I do. But I think the biggest learning I've had as a leader over time is you have to tap into the secret something within people to inspire them. It has to be real and it has to be authentic. Yeah. Some people are inspired by numbers and outcomes and delivering great results. Other people are inspired by the purpose. Other people are inspired by the engineering brilliance of some of the things we do. But you have to know and invest the time and energy in your people to tap into what inspires them. And it's different for everyone. I don't ever want to be the leader who says, millennials. And I probably have in closed door. But they bring energy and excitement and different thinking to the workplace, just as a great engineer does, just as a great salesperson does, just as a great marketer does.
The next study could come from anywhere.
One of the greatest things we have is a graduate program. And actually last week, these were the 3.0 grads. Yeah. They graduated and it was a smaller group. And because they are younger people who are into our workplace, who ask questions in a way that certainly I never did when I first came into the workplace. The questions they asked me were awesome. And I think other people would want to know that, but they have the bravery. They're not cynical. Workplaces need that. They need lack of cynicism. They need people who will be bold and brave and ask questions and challenge. And the worst thing as a leader I can do is shut that down or get defensive.
Yeah.
Because if I want people to be authentic and say what they think, then I've got to encourage that.
Are there any KPIs that factor into culture for REA?
So living by the values is certainly something that we have within, I wouldn't say it's a KPI, but it's there's what you do and that's your KPIs, but how you do it has to be within the REA values and that has to feel real. So if people have done great work, but they've done it at the expense of their colleagues or the values, then that's not okay. So I think probably the biggest one is around the values. Everybody who manages people have part of their balanced scorecard, for want of a better word, in our KPIs, we call them commitments.
Yeah.
In their commitments is one around people. And that is around both diversity and around attraction and retention of great people.
On your particular path to leadership, if there was one thing you could do more quickly, what would it be?
I think there'd probably be two. So one would have been I would have been braver sooner about having a view of I was ambitious and I worked hard, but I didn't have any sense of where I wanted to go with my career. And I'm not saying that means you have to say today I'm going to be a CEO, but I think I just sat down and worked hard with my bum up and hoped somebody would tap me and say, why don't you try for this? So that's not helpful. But probably the more important one for me was this kind of realization of don't try and be something you're not. Be who you are. Mm. Be authentic and be clear what you stand for and why, but be authentic.
Yeah. In other words, because I think I was a bit the same when I was younger. So it's okay to put your hand up and say, this is what I want.
Yeah. Or to say, I think I want to go here and tell someone who can do something about it. Yeah. And they can tell you, you're really great in this area, you're not here. So then you have something to work on.
Yeah.
But just sitting there and working hard and hoping it all works out, probably not helpful.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a mother. Mm-hmm. And work-life balance is, you know, from what we've seen, is such a big part of REA's culture. How do you yourself in such a busy role juggle work-life balance?
And it's hard because balance sort of feels like they're all even. And the truth is, in a given week, it's not even. You know, the allocation of time and energy is not evenly allocated in little set blocks. But I have a couple of things I try and do. So I do try not to do email on the weekends at all. And that's the time I have with my husband and our son, Jake. So I try and have that as our time to turn off. I leave work usually a bit early on a Friday, so my weekend really starts then, and that's our time together. I try on holidays to not log on. I still do some, but I'm quite disciplined. I take holidays. I regularly take holidays. I tell people I'm taking holidays.
Yeah.
And that's a really important time for us as a family. And if there's something that I have to leave to do with our son, I do. I think the one thing I've learned as I've gotten older is not to torture yourself. Now, I think my gender can do that better than men on the torture side. I don't mean to say that fathers, you know, don't want to attend school things. I think, of course, they do.
Yeah.
But I think women can kind of over-index on guilt. And so if I miss something, I don't torture myself anymore. Because my kid is never going to be the one who's on stage being a tree with no one in the audience. That will never happen. He has siblings. He has a dad. He has my parents. He will never be on his own. But if one time I'm not there, I'm not going to torture myself. At the end of every week, I try and say, was I a good mother? Was I a good CEO? And was I a good wife? And I would be lying if I say every week I give myself ticks. No, you don't, right?
Yeah.
But I think deliberately about those three things and how do I try and balance, get the time right of where I dedicate energy and time to those three things.
Yeah. I think it's good to know that it's the same for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so last question. What would be your advice? I was going to say other women, but let's just say other humans because we've got both males and females. And I think in leadership in real estate, it's probably about 50-50 down the middle. What advice would you give to aspiring leaders now in today's real estate industry?
The authenticity lesson is probably a valuable one. And perhaps unfairly, some of the industry would be tagged with that not being a strength in the industry. And I think people can spot falseness. They really can. Whether it's a consumer with something on our site or an interaction with a person or someone you're dealing with in a team that you're managing, people want real people. They want to trust them. They want to feel like there's a connection. They care about what they're doing for them and that they've got their interests at heart. And I think everybody wants that, whether it's from their manager or from someone they've got a commercial dealing with. You want to feel good at the end of each of those discussions. And if the outcome, the discussion is still tough on whatever commercial terms, but you feel you're sitting across the table from someone who's accountable and authentic, I think it's a much easier conversation. Even tough conversations are better when someone's authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. We're back to the heart again, aren't we?
It begins and ends with the heart.
Tracy, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's been amazing to talk to you.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
So that's it for this week. Catch you again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master series and also for the weekly wrap podcast on a Saturday morning. To listen into upcoming videos and podcasts, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform or eliteagent.com.au/elevate. I'm Samantha McLean. See you soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.